From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad and Glory of Glories, dear boys and girls. As I came to the mountains this morning, I could see the snow on top. It is stupendous. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire, and we are at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in a town called Poprad in Eastern Slovakia, hence we call the programme Postcard from Poprad. Normally there's the Three Musketeers, but Mark's away on holiday this week. He has more holidays than I have money. So just one person on the zit of the nose of Europe, Lee Banks.
In the village of the damned.
You and your village of the damned.
Well, you want to live here. It's evil.
Well, that's because you're living there.
Well, that's what a lot of people around here say, actually.
Anyway, boys and girls, this is your sideways look at the news, where we do some serious and some wacky as well, just to keep your little veins pumping with positive blood, as they say. And
it's all very Halloween, this show, isn't it, already?
It's getting there. we've got to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X Replay Radio, the original and one and only Replay Radio, as well as the lovely folks on Audio Boo and, of course, on RTI as well. Loads of people sending us stuff this week. We'll try and get through as much as we can. There's going to be huge amounts of it. But first, we've got to say our complete and utter condolences go to the people that have suffered in America this week, and I'm sure the death toll is going to rise over a period of time as more and more things come to the emergency services. Are still digging away like crazy, and it has been bad out there, hasn't it, Lee?
Absolutely incredible. You know, the people thought the disaster in New Orleans a couple of years ago was bad, and it was terrifyingly awful. This is worse. I'm just looking at a map now of the major devastation areas, and it goes from New Jersey to the edge of Canada. I don't know if people understand. I'm sure people in America do, but people in England and parts of Europe who listen to us don't understand the vastness of America, and almost a quarter of it somehow has been affected by this storm, from Virginia to New Hampshire, from Canada to the sea.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And I thought it was a very honest thing and a good thing to do that both candidates in the upcoming elections actually stood down because of the Superstorm Sandy. Yes. I thought that was a really good thing to do. And Obama was there having a look to see what was going on, promised people as much as could be done by the federal government side of things, and it was also interesting to see that the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, who is an opposite in terms of political stance to Mr. Obama, just got on with it and went to see people, and there was no political stance either way at the time they were there. Lee, I thought that was to be commended.
Well, I think if somebody did take a political stance in this kind of absolutely awful disaster, then it would be the most ludicrously and damaging political stance you could take.
Absolutely. Well, there's one thing I want to add for anybody over here in Europe who's trying to phone people in America, because we just assume that mobile phones are working wherever they are, and they're not. I'm trying to look at the moment. It's 25% of the mobile phone or cellular towers, as they're called in America, have been damaged due to the Hurricane Sandy. Therefore, it's a huge problem for certainly around Lower Manhattan, where they were struggling to get access, and various other parts of the city. So if you've been trying to phone people and you're not getting through, it's probably because the poor system over there is creaking under the weight of calls to start with. And, 25% of the cell phone systems was completely wrecked. And that came from the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, who advised us of that as well. But there are a lot of people able to send messages out via Twitter still, which has been quite good. So if you are trying to phone, don't always, but even now, don't panic. Just wait a little while and try again later, I think, is the answer.
There's some really awful. Yeah, this is a disaster almost of biblical proportions. It's like end of the world films that go out. And it really is that bad. Mm-hmm. And it is the reality. But there's some of these awful stories that are coming out, like the mother who had her two children swept out of her arms and was wailing on the street for people to help her find them. All these awful, awful stories. But then there's another story which people don't really think of in these disasters. There is a research centre in Kipps Bay, which is just outside New York.
Yep.
And it's thousands of lab rodents, mice and rats have been drowned in the storm. On the face of it, you know, we're thinking in great proportions, this really isn't relevant. But actually, when you think that these animals have been used for 10 years for research into leukemia, into all sorts of killer diseases, and all that research has just been wiped out.
Yeah, it's tragic when you put it that way. But I have to say, I'm also really humbled by the resilience of a lot of people that have been on CNN and various other networks.
Yeah,
where they come on, they say, "We'll rebuild it. We'll get on with it." And the amount of people that said, "Ah, it's okay, I'll walk to work today," and they've just been getting on with it, and it's wonderful to see it. And you know, I really applaud those people. They're absolutely amazing.
Well, Americans have become, in recent years, a bit of a sort of cartoon population, because, you know, they've been painted as overweight, they've been painted as decadent, they've been painted as driving in.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, Lee, they've still got that little bit of Brit inside them, you see.
That's, well, what I was going to say is, this is really the real stuff that the Wild West was made of, where they do rise against something like this, and they've got what's known as true grit. And
absolutely. Little bit of England still there, boys and girls. We move on to the Real Gone Kids department, which is where we pay homage to several people who've passed away. And I'm going to start with one that we missed. We just didn't have time for last week. And a lot of people won't know him, but I know of him, and I know some of the people that have worked with him over time. And that's Prince Roy Bates, affectionately known as Paddy Roy Bates. He was one of the pioneers of commercial radio in the 1960s. And he famously took over sea and a fort in the North Sea and called it Sealand. He declared independence.
What a brilliant
thing to do, isn't it? Because he was outside British territorial waters. And so he decided.
But he took over a sea fort, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was like raiding a castle.
Yeah, and he took it over and called it the Principality of Sealand. He even printed his own money, but nobody ever recognised it. And later on, they even set up a huge internet service provision company on there as well, and satellite distribution and all sorts of wonderful things. And he was just, you know, one of those eccentric.
Did you know him well?
No, unfortunately not. I bumped into him at one meeting, one place, one time. But in true terms, Roy didn't come across to the UK that much in later years. And it was many, many years ago where I went to an old marine radio type convention.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful to see all these old guys that had been the pioneers, and you just learnt so much from them. It was unbelievable.
So you were one of these old guys, were you?
Stop it. I do believe in free radio, though, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I do that quote of his?
Go on, then.
Oh, I just think this is a stunning quote, and I think it's a maxim that everybody should live by.
Yeah.
It was in the 1980s in an interview, wasn't it, when he said, "I might die young or I might die old, but I tell you what, I'll never die of boredom."
Absolutely.
That's the way to live your life.
Yeah, so Roy, I'm sure you're up there with a whole bunch of other people, including Spangles Muldoon and Howard Rose and all the rest of them, and having an amazing radio station up there
Spangles
in the sky.
Spangles Muldoon.
Yeah, that's Chris Carey.
That's a good name.
That's what he used to call himself on Radio Caroline, good old Chris, Spangles Muldoon. And we just a short few days ago, we were commemorating his the first anniversary of him passing as well. So there's a whole bunch of lovely guys up there making radio, I'm sure, and still making a salute to the British government. Oh, dear. Anyway, moving along, the singer Robert Paulton has died in a car crash.
Tragedy, another tragedy, isn't it? Real tragedy, on his way to Glyndebourne, and he was in a terrible car crash in Sussex.
That's not nice, is it?
Nah, terrible. I don't know how old he was. He wasn't that old, was he? He was only in his 40s, I think.
Something like that.
Really at the top of his career as a baritone with the Glyndebourne Opera.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just wiped off the face of the earth in
there
the
car. There you go. And also Chicago-born singer-songwriter Terry Gallagher, 67 years of age. Actually, he was signed to the old Chess label. Blimey.
Yeah, you see, you know what, with this story, honestly, I put this story up the same as you did. We both put this up. But I've got to say, I put it up because the whole of the world's press has been going on about Terry Gallagher. And I've never heard of him.
You'd have to be a bit of an aficionado of Chess, the label, and areas like that.
Yeah.
And also, he did come back into fame when some of his music was sampled by the old acid jazz fans. And by acid jazz, that's not acid or any of that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's off your
rocker. The real acid jazz stuff was kind of almost chill out music in a lot of ways.
I used to love it, yeah.
Some really good stuff, anyway. And then we've also lost Bill Dees as well.
Now I do know who he is.
Yes.
He worked with Glenn Campbell, Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, and Gene Pitney, of all people.
More importantly,
what?
Roy Orbison.
Of course, I forgot him. He wrote Pretty Woman for him.
Well, he co-wrote it with Roy Orbison, didn't he?
Yeah. That's one of the biggest songs ever, really, isn't it? Pretty Woman. How long's that been about? 1964 that came out, didn't it?
Well, so it's been around probably remembered by most these days for a certain film with a young Julia Roberts in it.
Oh, yeah, big girl, it's not remembered for that. It's remembered for Roy Orbison, the most tragic pop star in the world.
Yeah, you walk down the high street, Julia Roberts will be the winner. and boys and girls, now, we're going to be quintessentially English now for a moment.
Yeah,
So excuse me, the rest of the planet, because on November the 5th, it's Guy Fawkes Night, where, of course, Guy Fawkes, and I can't remember the year because my history's not that good, tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament in the UK and failed. So on that day...
And haven't we paid for it since?
Well, you could say that. And on that day every year since, well, not since, but after a while, the celebration is marked by huge firework displays. And I'm going to share a story first because a 10-year-old boy has suffered horrific injuries because a firework blew up in his face. And my dad, for many, many years in his shop, actually sold fireworks. And the funny thing was, even when I was a child, the amount of people that sort of stopped buying them and would go to a proper display in the village, even where I lived, was quite noticeable. So Dad had this huge box. It was about, I'm trying to think, give you an idea of size. If you think of an old 26-inch television, the big ones, imagine the box that came in.
Right.
It was full of fireworks. Ooh. So that's what was left over. So Dad,
that cost you a fortune today.
Well, probably would. Probably was worth a fortune then. So Dad said, we'll have a firework display in the back garden, which makes sense. Yeah. Only some stupid idiot called Eric, who was about 6 at the time, went over to the box as his sparkler was getting near to the end to pick up another one.
You were 6 at the time?
Yes.
That was just after Guy Fawkes got done.
Thank you. The problem was, one of the sparks from the sparkler that was ignited went the box. Eric legged it, as you can imagine. My poor dad was standing there with his coat over his head and covering my sister up as this whole box of fireworks went up. And, but for the grace of God, this sort of thing could have happened to us as well. So I know what it's like. I've seen it. It's horrific. And my advice to any, for God's sake, shopkeepers, don't let kids have fireworks, whatever. And if they haven't got ID, don't let them have them. And parents, don't be blasted stupid and make sure you're not letting your kids nick the ones out of your pantry because it's just too dangerous.
It's dangerous, but it's dangerous across the world. I couldn't believe it when I was in India last year. The amount of firework, because we were there at Diwali and a couple of other religious events like that, and the amount of fireworks that were being set off was incredible. One night, one morning after a Diwali event, there was literally on the streets outside the apartment block, they were firework cases, and they were probably 3 inches deep along the whole of the road. And yet, there isn't the safety aspects, all the health and safety stuff that we have over here in the UK. And from what I could gather from looking in the press and just, you know, as a passing interest, there weren't that many injuries. But I remember back in the 80s and the 90s doing stories on children in Britain who'd literally lost fingers because of fireworks.
I know,
it's incredible.
It frightens me in Slovakia because they are more relaxed about them here, especially on New Year's Eve. And it does make me nervous, but there again, that's probably because I was an idiot when I was six. Anyway, more proof that Britain has gone insane.
Unbelievable. I am so ashamed of Britain.
Sorry. Lee.
What? Yeah, well, here we have another of those stories of Britain in authority. A widow, an 82-year-old widow, has been threatened with jail for brushing leaves from a garden because the council say it's fly-tipping. I can't believe it! Brown leaves, they blow away! She's been accused of fly-tipping. 82-year-old grandmother could go to jail for it!
But what makes it worse, Lee, is the council people even took photos, wasted their time, wasted... Wasted like their time. Why can't they stake out people that don't pay their rents and don't do this and don't... Oh, no, we'll pick on an 82-year-old grandmother. Marvellous.
Because it's easy. You know that I have a very, very similar problem. I make no excuses about this, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to court. I am being taken to court by the council for one reason, and that's because I will not stand in the middle of a road with... where a million HGVs a year come down that road to cut back a hedge to reveal 12-inch wide pavement so people can use it. They are taking me to court. That has become even more insane this week since this widow, Barbara Ray, has had the threats for fly-tipping leaves. And 300 yards down from this hedge that the council want me to stand in the middle of the road to cut with a pair of hedge clippers, there is a wall that needs repairing. It's a 10-foot piece of wall that needs repairing. It's been hit by one of these vehicles. Yeah. Do you know what they've done?
No.
300 yards of signs down the road to where the wall is, two sets of traffic lights, 400 yards of warning signs, and roadside barriers so the workmen can carry out the repairs safely. Yeah, I've got to go to court because I won't stand in the middle of all this traffic and cut back a hedge which will reveal a footpath where people will get killed.
Ridiculous. I love this story. This is a teenager who's got more guts than the rest of us put together. A 19-year-old who's got FOP and so brave that they're carrying on a career.
It's an amazing story. It's what an awful, awful tragic story. If we don't, people don't know what FOP is. Mm. I'm not even going to try and say it the same as you, Eric. But it's a genetic disease which causes the soft tissue of your body to turn into bone. And basically, what is happening to this gorgeously, gorgeous young girl? She's 19 years old. Mm. Her body is freezing permanently, and she is becoming like a statue.
Mm.
But she has the guts. Now, we're talking about true grit in America. This is true grit of this one young lady. Mm. She's got the guts to stand up and say that she is going to become a model. She has the looks to do it, and she's going out there and doing
it. Good old Miss Winterburn. She's from Aberdeenshire up in Scotland, by the way. And she insists, it's never going to stop me from doing what I want to do. You, sir, you, madam, are the most wonderful person ever. I hope you get all the glory you can ever get from it and success from it. I think you are amazing.
I really do. Absolutely.
And then from one side of the camp to the other, we go and find some sick imbecile, some stupid oik, who breaks into Amy Winehouse's house and steals wedding dresses. How sick are you?
I would shadow that by saying, whoever you are who broke into this house knowing full well whose house it was, and you were only there to make money, that was the only reason you went in there, and then to steal a dead woman's wedding dress is just sick.
I'm not into physical punishment. because it hurts me. But, I mean, the truth is, you know, I could be tempted for somebody who could be as low a life as this person was. Yeah. I'm glad the police have got him, and I think they should lock him up and throw the key away.
But where would you sell it? Where are you going to sell it?
Private collectors, mate.
Private collectors, that's it, isn't it? You ain't going to be able to put it on eBay, are you?
No. No, but that's the whole point. You know, it's like the old days of people nicking expensive cars to order.
Mm.
And it used to happen. Moving along, some slightly good news in the tech front, where BlackBerry, which is owned by RIM, have been in so much...
Are we allowed to say that word?
Yes, because it's R-I-M.
Oh, well, that makes a difference.
Yes. And they've been getting into serious hot water with their shareholders, and the price has been going down, and the end of the world's coming. But apparently, just because they've confirmed that their new handset will come out next year, how gullible are people, the share price rose 9%.
Ooh!
How stupid is that?
Why is that stupid? I don't understand.
Well, some bloke stood up and said, "We will have the new handset by 2013.
Oh, right, 2013. Well, that's not that long away.
It's a long way away in terms of technology.
I see what you mean. Better handsets coming in. I understand.
Right, pardon me.
Silly billies.
Anyway, up in Lee's part of the planet, somebody's been doing nice things.
And, graphic and print in Shropshire.
Bless them.
Yeah, I bet you listen to us, don't you? Well done. We're giving you loads of mentions, Gary Jarvis.
That's because Gary's team was smart enough to send us an email or press release. What this Shropshire printer has been doing, because they've had enough plugs, is they've been raising money for the British Heart Foundation, which is a wonderful thing to do. And what they did was they had a fantasy football league. And
mean it didn't exist?
Yes. It kind of runs alongside the Barclays Premier League season, but it's not a real one. So you can become the manager of Manchester United or be a player or all sorts of wonderful things.
That's what it meant.
Yeah, it's fantasy league.
So my joke is the real. It doesn't exist.
Correct.
Brilliant. I want to join it and not play football.
So anyway, the nice thing is that Graphic and Print have donated loads of wonga to the British Heart Foundation.
Wonga. Drops your words.
Well, I was trying to think of something north of the border, where all you foreigners live. Good luck to them. Well done. It's a great cause, and we think you're lovely.
Yes, we do. And thank you for listening, and I'll come and see you soon.
Now, this one scares the living daylights out of me.
God, anything without legs, man, I tell you.
and I can tell you, if there's a young lady listening called Danielle and her mum listening as well, they will be falling on the floor in apoplectic laughter shortly.
Why?
Well, because many, many years ago, when Danielle was about 8 years old, which would put it about a zillion years ago, I was babysitting.
Aww.
In this house in Luton, there was a vivarium with a snake in it.
A vivarium?
That's what they call them. That's the glass cabinet things that you keep a snake in.
Oh, I thought it was like a vajazzle.
And in it was an Indian python. Now, this Indian python wasn't a big one as it goes, but it was
Do you know it was Indian? Did you speak to it?
Yes, it went but, 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 but. and the fact is, it was about 3 foot long, this snake. But it wasn't a fat one. It wasn't sort of terribly big. I look round, and I've gone, the lid's off the top of the vivarium.
Oh, no.
And then I look up, and the snake's up on its whatever legs it's got, with about half of it on top of this thing, looking at me.
It's a snake. If it's got legs, it's a crocodile.
Well, no, you know what I mean. And so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, no, there's a snake. And I'm supposed to be calm and collected because Danielle's there sort of on the sofa watching telly.
Oh.
And I've gone, oh, my God. And I've said to Danielle, get me the phone.
What, are you going to beat it to death with the phone?
To phone her mother up to come and catch it because I wasn't going anywhere near it. And it was like a scene out of a Brian Ricks farce. It was so funny. Because I wouldn't go. And I'm like, petrified. I'm like the rat that's frozen in the eyes of this snake. But the snake's not much bigger than me flipping... Well, it's not as big as me arm. I could have tied it up in knots, but I didn't go anywhere near it.
You can't wrestle a snake. Here's my snake story. This was really awful. I was on the beach, right, in... I can't remember where it was. It was in Tenerife somewhere. And me and my young lady at the time were walking down the beach, and the heavens opened. You know, like you can only get these, like, tropical storms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just unbelievable. And there was a little hut... just down there, and we ran to the hut. We got inside, and it was all right because it wasn't coming through. And I looked up because the roof, it was like a thatched roof, and there in the eaves was the biggest, fattest, ugliest snake I've ever, ever, ever seen in my life. I was back on that beach and back in town within seconds.
And the point of all these stories, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is a snake has shut a parcel office in South Africa.
The story, didn't we?
Yes. Clerks at a South African post office fled for safety. I don't blame them. When they emptied a mailbag to find a white python come slithering and thing. Well, they're not slimy at all, actually. They're not. They're actually quite warm.
It's been smothered in...
No, because the secondary follow-up to this is, this became a bit of a standing joke in the broadcast industry. And one day, there I was with Discovery Channel, and they were promoting the then new Animal Planet. So the PR people thought it would be funny to put this huge, fat, 20-foot-long python around my neck.
Oh, I know you told me this. This is terrible.
But anyway, this
should have bit it in the throat.
Oh, no. I was like, rigid. And this, apparently this 1 meter long snake in South Africa actually called a halt to everything. And apparently the manager said it was the most traumatic experience ever seen in the post office. And I agree with you, sir. I'd be absolutely paranoid. Apparently, the recipient of the parcel was charged with illegal transportation of animals. Ha, 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 got you then, pal.
Serves you right.
Yeah, yeah, damn right it is.
I heard about people smuggling. This is serious.
Yeah, smuggling animals.
Snakes in their underpants.
I know, it's horrendous. I can't even bear the thought of it. We're going to shut this subject up and go for a commercial break, boys and girls. We'll be back faster than you can drink that milkshake, have a cup of tea, or make a cup of coffee. This is Postcard from Poprad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Eric, give me a break.